I just say how much I love seeing you guys every week? Like, I really, really do enjoy this. You guys are awesome. So if you are new here, this is the first time at LifePoint, I want to say welcome to you guys as well. If you don't know anything about our church, so LifePoint has three different locations. We've got one in Lewis Center. That's our oldest location, and then one in Mount Vernon, and now, of course, one here in Delaware. And we have been here. This is week 8 for us. So if you've been here from the start, right? Yeah, that's awesome. So 2 months of existence and thinking about over that time, it's been really, really cool. And you think about 8 months, really, we started 8 months ago meeting once a month and kind of figuring out, okay, what's God doing here and who's going to be a part of this thing? And I'm just thinking back over that time, God has done some really, really cool things. There have been some really incredible stories already popping up from our church. Just folks stepping up to serve, folks stepping up to host college students for the whole summer where college students didn't know where they were going to live for the summer. Families coming in, getting connected for the first time and getting into life groups and starting to serve and just seeing people take steps in faith. And so it's been really, really encouraging. And as we head into the summertime and we maybe hit kind of this next phase in our church, just want to encourage us, don't stop praying and don't stop watching for God's activity in your life. Don't stop taking steps in faith. And so I'm very encouraged. I hope you guys are as well. Looking towards the future, I'm excited for what God is going to do. We don't come here every week just to do a religious thing. We don't come just for routine's sake. We come here because we want to see make a dent in lostness here in Delaware. There are literally tens of thousands of people in our community who don't know Jesus, who are far from the Lord, and we want to make a dent in that, and we are privileged to be a part of what God's doing here. I think it's pretty obvious that God's up to things, up to work here in Delaware, and so we want to be a part of that. We want to join in that, and I just want to encourage you guys, keep praying for what God is doing here through us and through every church in Delaware that proclaims Jesus' name. So I'm excited. Hope you guys are as well. We've been in this series. If you've been here for the past, 6-7 weeks now, we've been in this latest and greatest series where we're going through the book of Colossians. And each week we've said the same thing, kind of our big idea. And that is that just because it's new doesn't mean it's true. There it is. Just because it's new doesn't mean it's true. This kind of idea is that the world is never short of ideas. There are always new ideas coming out, and some new ideas are fantastic, and some new ideas are less than fantastic. And so we talk about this in the consumer world. It's also the same in the Christian world. We as Christians have to be discerning about what new ideas we're entertaining. As you come in contact with ideas, you look specifically at, okay, I know this is what's true, what I know of the gospel, what I know about I've been saved by grace through faith. As I entertain this new idea, does it help me walk in my faith with Jesus or does it not? And we have to be discerning in those areas to figure out, okay, is this really helpful to me or is this actually maybe twisting or kind of tweaking the gospel a little bit, and is it leading me down a path that I don't really want to go? We've got to be discerning because just because it's new doesn't mean it's true. And specifically, if you look through scripture, you see two primary kind of ideas, two different tendencies, if I can say it that way, that we see oftentimes with the gospel. The gospel comes to a place, people accept Jesus Christ, they start in faith, and then two things typically happen. People start to lean one way or the other, and that's towards one way is what we call legalism. Right, legalism being, okay, it's all about the rules. It's really if the gospel is truth and grace and fully 100% both of those things, legalism tends to lean towards, okay, let's think about the truth side of it, right? It's all about rules, follow the rules, God will love you. And what can happen is it starts off maybe in a healthy desire for truth, but what it warps to is if you follow the rules, you're better than everyone else. If you follow the rules well, God will love you more. You work your way to God. God doesn't work your way to you, and that's not the gospel. We need to be able to be discerning about that and look at that and say, no, that's not the gospel. The other side of that coin, so you got legalism on one side, is something called license. And license is really all about the grace, kind of love side of things where it says God loves you, God forgives you, all of that is true. And it starts off on a right desire to see the grace and the love of God proliferated. But what happens is people lean maybe too hard that way. And what happens is you say, man, God forgives you. It really doesn't matter what you do, right? You can do whatever you want. God loves you, right? He accepts you however you are. You don't need to change. God doesn't want you to change. Just wherever you're at, right? God loves you. Now, again, that's true in a sense, but God wants to see you take steps in obedience. God cares about your moral purity. And so we can lean kind of too far. You tend to see this, again, in history, in scripture, and in the world today, that people kind of lean sometimes one way or the other. For the past few weeks, we've talked really more about the legalism side of things. We've talked about, hey, you are saved by grace through faith. God doesn't love you because you follow the rules. You try to follow the rules because God loves you. God worked his way to you. You didn't work your way to him. This morning, We're going to hit more the license side of things. We're going to talk a little bit about, okay, Paul's going to remind us of the gospel, but we're also going to look into, okay, now that we've received the gospel, now that we've put our faith in Jesus Christ, what does that mean for our lives? Is there a way that we're supposed to live? And really, we're going to take 2 weeks to look at this, where Paul's going to say, okay, here's some things. This week, we're going to talk about, here's some things that you should avoid. Here are some things because of your new identity. If I can boil it down that way, Paul's going to say, you've got a new identity. That means a new kind of life. So here are some things that you really should avoid. Here are some things that you really should pursue. This is what you should do. This is what you should not do. This week, we're going to look at the avoid. Next week, we're going to look at the pursuing side of things. And we're going to read in Colossians. If you've got a Bible with you, you can go to Colossians chapter 3. Verses 1 through 4, we're going to read there first, and then we're going to go to 5 through 10 after that. We're going to read these kind of two sections there. Let me pray for us really quickly, and then we're going to get into Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Lord, as we hit the scripture this morning and we talk a little bit about, okay, we've been given a new life. What does that mean? We've been given a new identity. What does that mean for us? God, I pray that you give us wisdom. I pray that you encourage our hearts, Father. Don't let us be discouraged in this, Father. Don't let us feel shame and guilt, Father. You have cleansed us from those things. You've given us a new kind of life. Father, help us to walk in that. And God, if there are folks here this morning who don't know you, I pray this morning they would feel your presence. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would lead us through this text and that you'd guide us, Father, and that you'd give me the words, Father, to say. We love you. We want to walk in a way that pleases you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 says this. Paul is speaking to the Colossians and he says, since then you have been raised with Christ. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Paul gives two really clear commands here. He says, since then, right, because you've been raised with Christ, since you died, the old person died, and this new person has come to life, since you're a new creation in Christ, he says, do what? Set your minds on things above and set your hearts on things above. These two commands, if you break it down, look at what does he mean by mind, what does he mean by heart? What Paul is saying is that there has to be this kind of fundamental shift in our desires and our values, in our loves, in the things that we delight in. There's gotta be a fundamental shift away from materialistic, temporary things toward heavenly and eternal things. So you break that down. Okay, it means I'm dreaming less about what kind of car I'm gonna own and what kind of house, how big of a house can I buy? I'm dreaming more about how faithful I can be in my relationship with the Lord and my relationship with other people. It means I care a little bit less about achieving my earthly dreams and I care a whole lot more about living in a way that pleases God. It means I start to live my life in light of eternity, not just the here and now. Rick Warren wrote The Purpose-Driven Life. He says it this way. He says, start practicing now what you're gonna be doing forever and ever and ever. You, if you've got a relationship with Jesus, if we have a relationship with Jesus, we're gonna spend forever glorifying God. So start practicing that now. Start living in light of eternity. There's gotta be this fundamental shift in our values and in our desires. Why? Because we've been given a new life. The old person is dead and this new person has been raised with Christ. Our Christianity, if you have faith, right? If you say, I love Jesus, I've given my life to Jesus, that is more than just a set of beliefs that you mentally kind of say, yes, I believe in those things. It's a fundamental shift in who you are. It's a new kind of life. I've been thinking all week about how to illustrate this, right? Paul keeps talking about, he says this elsewhere in scripture. He goes, look, the old person is dead and this new person's been raised with Christ. You're a new creation in Christ. So I've been thinking, okay, how do I illustrate this well? So I'm really excited about this. I hope you are as well. Let's say that you work at Taco Bell, okay? Now serving breakfast, because who doesn't love burritos at 9 a.m.? So Taco Bell, right? You are a worker there. If you're wondering how I got this, Taco Bell is a magical place that just gives you things when you ask. And so go there sometime and ask them, right? I'm pumped about this. So let's say you work at Taco Bell, right? This is where you work. This is your life and you're cool with it, but you're thinking, okay, it's time to move on. And so you work and you try and you apply and you apply and you apply and you just can't seem to get out of this job. You want to get a different job, but you just can't get a different job. And you've tried everything within your power to get a different job and nothing is working. You recognize, man, I am stuck. And then one night, let's say it's Sunday night before you got to go to work on Monday, you get a call from a buddy of yours who owns a bunch of Wendy's. And he says, hey man, I want to give you a new job. Not because of anything you've done, right? I just want to give you a new, just because I love you, just because you're my friend, I want to give you a new job. Effective immediately, I'm going to make you the manager of one of my Wendy's stores. All you have to do is say yes. All you've got to do is say yes. You say, what do I have to do? Nothing. You just need to say yes. This is my gift to you. The moment you say yes, the moment you say, okay, I'll take the job, everything changes. As far as your work identity is concerned, right? The taco maker is dead, and guess what? Oh, you know what's coming, right? Let me get this off myself. The Wendy's manager has come to life, right? The moment you say yes, you are now done at Taco Bell, and you are now effectively a Wendy's manager. But you say, okay, wait, you don't know anything about running a Wendy's. You're right, I don't. I don't know any of the roles or the responsibilities yet. I don't know anything that I'm supposed to do as far as my skill set or anything like that, but I am a Wendy's manager. Why? Because the person in charge said so. The person with authority to give that position said, I'm going to give you this position. I'm going to make you a new person as far as your work is concerned, simply because I can and because I love you. That is a picture of what justification is, what we call justification. It means you've been made right with God. When Paul says, since then you've been raised with Christ, he means the old person is dead. The old you is dead, and you didn't do anything for it. God gave you the phone call and said, hey, I want to make you a new person. I want you to work at Wendy's, right? And all you have to do is say yes. All you've got to do is say yes, and effective immediately. You are a different person. That is a spiritual reality. The taco maker is dead. The Wendy manager has come to life. The old you is dead and the new you has been raised to life. You are fundamentally different because of your faith in Jesus Christ. That's a spiritual reality. But Paul's gonna say, look, that's a spiritual reality that now needs to play itself out in your everyday life. I've gotta show up to work on Monday. This is what we call sanctification, right? I gotta show up to work on Monday and start my new gig. It wouldn't make a lot of sense for me to go back to Taco Bell on Monday. I now work at Wendy's, and that's what Paul is gonna try to get us to understand. He says, guys, now that you're a new person, right? It's a new life. You've gotta live differently. Why? Not because you're a fraud, not because you have to, not because you're not gonna be a Wendy's manager till you do that. No, you are right now, but you gotta live that way. That's fitting of who you are. And so he goes on in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 10, and he says this. He says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Look at that list. He says sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. He says these things belonged to the old life, the old you. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. He says this is why Jesus died. Jesus died to pay for this kind of stuff. Why would you keep living in it? Jesus has forgiven you. Live differently. He says you used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived. Every single one of us, Romans 3:23 says we were sinful. We all used to be there. He says, you used to live that way, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. I love that he uses that analogy there. It's like he's talking about clothes almost. That's what one of the commentators was saying, right? He uses two analogies, death and life, and really putting off the old clothes and putting on the new clothes. He says, look, guys, you've put on the new life. You're a new person. And let's go back to this analogy and work with this for a second, right? The guy calls you on Sunday night and says, hey, man, you're a manager. You go, yes, I'm so excited. How much sense would it make if Monday morning I got back up and I put on the Taco Bell stuff and I started driving back to Taco Bell? You would say that doesn't. You're a Wendy's manager now. You got to show up to Wendy's. You can't go back to Taco Bell. I can't show up to Wendy's and my Taco Bell stuff. I can't show up to Wendy's and start working there and start making tacos again. I got to figure out how to make hamburgers and fries. I got to start living the new way. Paul says, you've been made new. You can't keep on living the old way. You can't keep loving Christ. You can't say that you love Christ and ignore your anger problem. You can't say that you love Christ and just say, I'm gonna live however I want sexually. You can't say that you love Christ and not look at yourself and say, what attitudes, behaviors, desires, and loves are with my old life? This was the old me. I've gotta look at those things. And I'm not saying we're gonna be perfect, okay? Don't get me wrong here. But what I'm saying is we can't keep going back to the old job. We've gotta start taking steps and, okay, I wanna live the new life. Why? Because I've been made new. That's a spiritual reality. God has made me new. I've gotta start living that new life. Paul says these things, anger, rage, slander, you gotta put these things away. Now, what we try to do sometimes, and I think all of us do this, I do this, right, is we like to maybe mix and match, right, where we've got maybe the Wendy's hat on, right? We say, you know, welcome to Wendy's, right? I'm a Wendy's manager, but we're wearing the Taco Bell apron. We say, you know what? I'm a believer, right? And yet some part of us, we just want to hold on to, and we want to say, you know what, God, I love you. Thanks for making me new, but I just don't want to get rid of this area of my life yet. I don't want to hand this area of my life over to you. God, I love Jesus, but you know what? I don't wanna hand my sexual life over to you. God, I really love you, but God, I don't wanna hand my finances over to you. God, I really love you, but I like gossiping. I like talking about other people. I don't wanna hand that area of my life over to you yet. And the problem is, what does that make us? It makes us hypocrites, right? And it's pretty obvious. People look at us and say, man, you say you're the Wendy's manager, but you're wearing a Taco Bell apron. You say that you love Jesus, but this area of your life pretty clearly indicates that something is a little bit out of whack here. And again, I'm not saying that we're gonna be perfect, but that doesn't mean that we're off the hook from trying. It doesn't mean that we're off the hook from intentionally taking steps to say, you know what? This belonged to my old self, and I gotta put that away. Why? Because it's been put to death. The old person is dead. And the new person has come to life, and I gotta start living that way. I gotta start walking in the victory that Jesus Christ has already bought on my behalf. When I say be intentional, right? Let's take intentional steps to walk in the new life and put the old person is dead, let's put the practices away with that. Here's why I say intentional. If you look at the phrases that Paul talks about, he says what? Put to death. Rid yourself of these things. These are intentional phrases. That means, okay, yes, the Holy Spirit is the one who works this out in us, I think empowers us, who really guides us and convicts us, but we still have to try, and we have a part in this. And the way I've put it in your listening guide is this: nobody drifts toward godliness. Nobody just drifts towards godliness. And let me use a different analogy here for a moment. Any of you boaters like going out on the lake sometimes? Fishermen, yeah, a couple. So if you've ever been out on a boat and you drive the boat towards the buoy, right, and then you kind of park it there and you just turn it off and you don't anchor, what happens? You drift, right? You don't stay right next to the buoy without trying. What happens is without trying, you end up 50 yards away, 100 yards away, 200 yards away. You look up and before you know it, you go, oh my gosh, look how far we've drifted. We're not even trying. And that's kind of the point. You have to try. You have to be intentional about pursuing Christ or you're gonna drift. Why? Because you've got a lot of, if I can say it this way, you got a lot of practice at your old practices. You've got old sinful habits that even though the old person is dead, and I want you to say this with me because I've been thinking all week, how do I make this sticky, right? So I rhymed it because that's what I do. Say this with me. The old person is dead, but the old practices wanna rear their ugly head. You're welcome, right? You are welcome. The old person is dead, but the old practices want to rear their ugly head. It's a spiritual reality that the old person is dead and gone, but you know what? You got a lot of habits. You have a lot of sinful habits that are still there. Some of us, right, we worked at Taco Bell for 5 years. Some of us worked at Taco Bell for 10 years. Some of us worked there for 20 years, 25 years, 30 years, 35 years. Those habits don't just disappear in a day. We drift if we're not being intentional about pursuing Christ. And when we drift, we don't drift towards godliness. We drift back towards sinful habits. That's part of who we are, unfortunately. And so here's what I'll say. If I ask you the question, what are you intentionally doing to pursue Christ and to pursue godliness? If you were to say, I don't know, then chances are you're not. If you don't know, if you can't name one thing that you're intentionally doing to pursue godliness in your life, chances are you're just drifting. And when you're just drifting, there's no knowing where you're going to end up. Be intentional about pursuing the Lord. As we think about that, being intentional, I want to give you guys really two things, two very practical. I want to keep this simple. I want to keep it memorable. And so the first thing I'll say is this, right? As we think about, okay, I want to put off the old stuff. I want to put off the old practices. I want to put anger and rage and malice and slander and sexual immorality and impurity and lust and wanting things that I don't have and just being, I want to be content in who I am in Christ. How do I do that? What are some steps that I can take? Here's what I'll say first. Remind yourself of the gospel daily. Remind yourself of the gospel daily. I want you, since we're in the mode of repeating things, repeat with me. I will remind myself of the gospel every day. It is amazing to me how quickly we can forget. Yeah, you guys started, didn't you? It is amazing. And done. It's amazing to me how quickly we forget this. It's amazing in my own life. Like, I study this for a living. And yet, if I go a day, 2 days, I get to the end of that and I just think, Cale, much of the stuff that you've been dealing with, the feelings, being down in the dumps, being frustrated, being angry, it's just the fact that you're not remembering who you are in Christ. You're picking up some of the old habits and putting back the Taco Bell hat on, right? You're not recognizing that you've been made new every day. And I'm not going to tell you it has to be in the morning or in the midday or in the evening. I will say the morning is as good a time as any before the hecticness of the day gets started. Remind yourself, I am a new creation. I have been made new. That is a spiritual reality. The old person has been put to death. If I've trusted Jesus Christ with my life, that is something once and forever. My sins, past, present, and future, have been eradicated, have been forgiven, removed from me as far as the east is from the west, and God loves me. And when he looks at me, he does not see my sinfulness. He sees Jesus Christ, and he sees his righteousness. I am a new creation. I've got to start living that way. You remind yourself of that every day, and it's going to be harder for you to drift. You remind yourself, I am a new creation. I can start living this way. Remind yourself of the gospel. Preach it to yourself. I know some of you think, well, Cale, I don't do what you do. I don't get up there and speak. You can preach the gospel to yourself. You can look at yourself and say, I need to identify where I'm not trusting the Lord and where I'm thinking, man, I'm still this old person. Because here's what's going to happen. You're going to trust Jesus, and then we've got an enemy who comes in, and he wants to try to tell you and whisper to you, you're a fraud. This didn't really happen. You're still in your sins. You're still guilty. You should still feel shame. God doesn't love you. And you have to look at those doubts and those whispers and say, you know what? I know from the word of God that God does love me. And I know that I have been made new. And I'm going to remind myself of this every single day, that Jesus Christ has made me a new person. And here's the beautiful thing. This is where our analogy breaks down, right? Wendy's, right? You screw up enough times, you're probably going to get fired, right? As much as your buddy may love you, right? You come in there every day and keep going back to Taco Bell mode, right? Keep going back to your old sinful habits. He's probably going to fire you eventually. God never fires you. God never kicks you out of the family. No matter how many times you stumble, no matter how many times you fail, no matter how many times you revert back to some old habits, right? I don't want you to do that. We don't want to do that. We need to be taking steps in godliness. But no matter how many times you trip up and stumble, God never looks at you and says, man, you're done, right? This has been great, but it's not working out. God never says that. He's always inviting you back into relationship with him and reminding you of who you are in Jesus Christ. You remind yourself of the gospel every single day. And secondly, I'll say this, find community. Find community. Funny thing about blind spots, right? Every single one of us has blind spots. We've got areas in our life that are blind spots for us. This is the kind of the, by definition, the funny thing about this, you can't see your blind spots and I can't see my blind spots. Let's go back to the analogy for just a moment. If I come into Wendy's one day, right, and I'm wearing the Taco Bell or the Wendy's apron, but I'm wearing the Taco Bell hat, I don't really know what hat I'm wearing. I can't see that, right? You know who can see the Taco Bell hat? All of my coworkers. Everybody that I'm working alongside can take one look at me and say, hey man, you're wearing the wrong hat. What are you doing? You're wearing the wrong hat. When you have community in your life, it is harder to drift. It's harder to, when you're isolated, it's very easy for you to just drift or to backslide. But when you are surrounded by people, it's harder for you to drift. When you're locked arm in arm with people who are pursuing Christ, when you've got brothers and sisters surrounding you who are pursuing Christ, there's community there, there's momentum there, and there's accountability there. You've got the opportunity for people to look into your life and say, hey, did you notice you're wearing the wrong hat? Do you see this going on in your life? Have you noticed this? How can I help you? How can I pray for you? And you've got the opportunity to do that same thing in other people's lives. You need to find community. And here's what I'll say, LifePoint, we have an answer for this. It's not the only answer, right? It's not the only way to find community, but it's our way, and we try to do a really good job of it, and that's life groups. These small groups that meet throughout the week, right? Small groups of 8 to 15 people or so. Some of you laugh at that. You're like, my group has like 35, right? We're trying to get there. 8 to 15 people in those groups, right? Small groups that meet once throughout the week. We've got groups and they're launching this week. Again, it's not the only way, but it's our way. And we try to do a really good job of it to help you find community. We've got groups launching today. We got groups meeting on Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and even on Sundays. Starting next week, we're going to launch a new group for new people, right? If you're totally new to LifePoint, totally new to life groups, and you say, I've never been in one before, and I'm a little hesitant about getting into maybe a midweek group, there's going to be a Sunday morning group right after church starting next week that's for you. We want to help you take those steps. So if you're new, and you've never been a part of a group before, and you've never been in a life group, I would just tell you, take that step this summer. Give it a shot. Take a step and find community and see what it's like. If you've been here for a while and you've maybe never been in a life group, you've been at LifePoint for a while, but you've never been in a life group, I'm just gonna ask you, what's holding you back? List out the excuses, right? You say, this is why we don't do it, and really analyze that list and say, God, is there any reason here that is a real reason for why I don't have community in my life? And if you've just been out of life group for a while, maybe you were in one for a while, but now you're out of one, it's just been put on the back burner, I would just encourage you. This summer, many of our groups only meet every other week. So you're looking at probably a commitment of seven times over the summer to take this first step and say, you know what? I don't wanna be isolated. And I know that for me, it's hard for me to see my blind spots. And I know it's easy for me to drift. I wanna be surrounded by people, surrounded by brothers and sisters in Christ who are pursuing Jesus, where I can find momentum, where I can find community, and where I can find accountability. Life groups are our answer for that. Again, there's a launching this week. So I'll tell you this, if you are interested in taking that step, you got one of those listening guides when you came in. At the back portion of that, there's something called the LifePoint Connection Card. Under the LifePoint Connection Card, you're gonna get things like get more info on joining a life group. That's number one. Just write your name on that. Right away, we can contact you. If this is you and you're saying, you know what, I really feel like I should have a group. Put your name, check joining a life group, and we will do everything. Give us a way to contact you. When you're leaving this morning, we've got black boxes by the door. You can put it in there. You can take it to Guest Central. You can find one of the people in the red t-shirts. They're our connections team. Give it to them, and we will help you. We will do everything that we can to get you meaningfully involved in a group. Find community in your life. It is so much easier to make progress and so much harder to backslide and to drift when you are surrounded by people who love you and who are willing to walk beside you. Remind yourself of the gospel, right? As we seek to put these things off, as we seek to look at our old life and say, okay, I wanna put the practices of my old life away and I wanna start pursuing new things. Next week, we're gonna talk about, okay, what are some of the new things that we should be pursuing? But this week, as we look at, okay, I wanna be putting off rage, I wanna be putting off malice and sexual immorality, I wanna take steps in these areas in my life. Remind yourself of the gospel every day. Remind yourself of who you are in Christ and take steps to find community. Let me pray for you this morning. Lord, we love you. And God, we're thankful for who you are. God, Paul tells us that there are practices, God, things that every single one of us does. God, I don't think anyone is probably exempt from that list. Anger, rage, Father, slander and gossip, God, living sexually however we want, not inside of your design. God, not handling our finances with trust, Father, and faith. There are these areas in our life, God, that belong, practices and habits that belong to our old life. God, this morning, I pray that you would remind us, for those of us who have a relationship with you, who we are in Christ. And that you would remind us, Father, we've put on the new self. You've raised us to life in Christ. And the old person has been put to death. And God, we can start to walk in that. God, help us. Help us to this week, Father, to remind ourselves of the gospel. Help us to take steps to find community. God, for those of us who are just struggling in that area, God, who know it's good for us, but just don't want to take the step, Father, I pray that you would encourage them. God, help us to take steps, even when we don't want to. God, for those of us here this morning who may not have a relationship with you, maybe this is your first time here. I just want to speak to you for a moment. You've got a God in heaven who is offering you the Wendy's job. You got a God in heaven who's calling you up and saying, I want to save you and forgive you. And all you have to do is say, yes, I trust Jesus with my life. I believe he's the Son of God. And I believe that he died for my sins. And this morning I'm saying yes. And the old person is dying and the new person is coming to life. If you wanna take that step this morning, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna pray and you can just pray this along with me. And it's not the words, they're not magic. God doesn't owe you anything because you said it. It's simply the expression of your heart to say, God, I'm saying yes to this invitation of grace. You can pray this. Dear Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you that you loved me even when I was unlovely. God, this morning I put my trust in you and I'm asking forgiveness for my sin. And when I stand before you someday, I'm gonna trust that my salvation will be because of what you've done for me, not because of what I've done. God, thank you for saving me. And I love you. And I commit my life this moment forward to living for you. In Jesus' name, amen.